now, when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good afternoon, everybody out there. I'll tell you what, you've probably heard me say this 100 times before, and the way things are going, God willing, you'll hear me say it 100 more times at least. I've never been more excited about doing a radio show. I feel like I was born to do this, born to be, a crusader. My best friend in the world, he said that I was a born crusader. We have a huge show for you people tonight. Thanks to Jacob. He took a shortcut and he got us a great guest coming on tonight. A guy by the name of Pat Shannon is going to come on. I don't know if you people know this or not, but yesterday was the 24th anniversary of the Oklahoma City Murrell Federal Building bombings as in plural. There was more than one bomb in that building. The depth, and we're going to show tonight that the depth of criminality, the Satan worshipers that run our government are just going over the top. And our government is so corrupt, and I have no words to tell you about it. We're going to talk all about that. But before we go to that, our first half hour of the show tonight, we're going to deal with Holy Week. And we're also going to continue with the Holy Week next week. But Jacob is going to be on tonight with us. We'll switch up co-host before it's too long. You know how it is. We got a big crew. But listen, before we go another foot, another inch, we're going to go to prayer. So if you will, people, please bow your head in prayer while Lee Cochran leads us in prayer, people.
Okay. Everybody bow your heads. Dear God, please thank you for sending Jesus to die for our sins on the cross, a very painful death. And he was an innocent person. And he died for our sins so we may have eternal life. And he also defeated evil in the long run. And please help us to use that example to see through evil and all this deception that is going on. And please help us in our daily struggles against evil. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Lee. People, I would like to just add another note or two about our guest coming on. We're going to show you this documentation. We're not just blowing hot air. Eric Holder, the assistant attorney general under Bill Clinton, was directly involved with getting the explosives to one Terry Nichols and one Timothy McVeigh. They had the fingerprints of two FBI agents were on unexploded explosives. There's no doubt about it. Eric Holder was guilty. And when he was found guilty, guess what they did? Instead of assistant attorney general, they gave him the top job. They made him the attorney general under Obama. I'm really fired up about this tonight, people. I really am. Our government is just totally out of control. And you know whose fault it is? It's ours, because we let it get out of control, because we got a bunch of sissy, mamby-pamby, scaredy boys that every time some crap hits the fan, like at Charlottesville, oh, we're going to get arrested. We're going to get put in jail. We run for the high grass. Well, anyway, I didn't mean to go on like that. I got to also reel myself in, because this is Holy Week. Tomorrow is the holiest day of the year. And I'm going to shut up with that. We're going to go to our wonderful little co-host, Jacob Tyler. Jacob's going to take us off. His father was a minister. I'm very proud of Jacob. I'm very proud of all my people. I consider my sons, my kids, my brothers, and I fight to the death for all of them. Anyway, take it away, Jacob. Just get going with the Holy Week.
Thank you, Eddie. It's great to be on with you guys tonight. And I'll just dive right into it, since we got a real exciting interview lined up and we got a lot of ground to cover tonight. And this is some pretty meaty stuff I wanted to go into here. So, you know, last week, y'all may recall, we were talking about the significance of the Christian faith and why it's so incredibly potent and powerful and profound, and why it is so relevant and indeed even the driving force behind everything that we do. And last week, Eddie asked me to, you know, talk about this too. And you may recall, I gave an overview of the substance of my own hope, I gave an overview of the substance of the hope that my own faith in Jesus Christ gives me. I was giving an explanation off the top of my head, and you know, I was shooting from the hip a little bit with it. But as I reflected upon our last show, throughout this past week, I became increasingly burdened with the inclination to elaborate further on just how powerful and profound the implications of what I was saying are. And towards that end, I'm going to cite some scriptures here that lay out more thoroughly and more adequately express the relevance of this. And I did touch on a lot of this. It's just I didn't. It was the tip of the iceberg. I really, as the week went on, I felt more and more convicted that I didn't give the matter justice. And because there are so many, I mean, there's a literal wealth of scriptures in the Bible that lay out this premise for us. And so I just, you know, I took the time to compile some of these for y'all, and I wanted to share that with y'all tonight, just to elaborate on this principle, because nothing says it. I mean, I can say why it's significant to me. Eddie can talk about that. Lee can talk about that, and that's all well and good. But nothing says it quite like the scriptures themselves. And so, moving on with that, every Christian understands that we are the church. The scriptures tell us that where two or more are gathered in God's name, there His presence can be found also. The scriptures also describe to us the formation of the first church along those same lines. The first church, which was founded by Jesus Himself, and that historic moment is described to us in Matthew 16, verse 18, where Jesus says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock," referring to Himself, "will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And there are multiple things to glean from that verse alone, and it's difficult to estimate which of them is the more sublime. Firstly, we're informed here that the Church of Jesus Christ is built upon the Christ Himself, Jesus the Way, Jesus the Truth, Jesus the Life, Jesus the Son of God, our Kinsman Redeemer. Secondly, we're informed here that because of this, all the fury of hell that we make a meager, humble effort to expose in some small measure on this show every week cannot withstand its might.
Well, I'm sure you heard the music, Jacob. Thank you so much. People, hang on to your seats, but please don't go anywhere. We'll be right back in just a minute. Jacob's going to finish his contribution to Easter tomorrow.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win. They lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. By a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voter fraud.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
Hey, I'm just an old chunk of coal, but I'm gonna be a diamond someday.
Well, folks, the old chunk of coal himself is back, and we're getting ready to go right back to Jacob. Before we go to Jacob, I'm going to run this right by Jacob. I'm pretty much of a new Christian. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I'm going to read this to Jacob and Lee, of course, and our listeners, and I'm going to shut up. This comes from Hebrews 11, which is my favorite chapter. It's what I call the faith chapter. Okay, here's the definition of faith. I think Jacob mentioned faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For it, by elders obtained a good report. I could go on further because the Lord knows I love that. I love all of chapter 11 in Hebrews, but I just want to run that by my brothers Lee and my little brother Jacob and Sam and all of our audience. I tell you what, Easter is the resurrection day, as my brother Rick said. You know, it's just I can't tell you how much it means to me, and I'm sure it means to y'all. Okay, Jacob, I didn't throw you off your rhythm there, son. So go right back to where you were talking about, because we were all involved in that.
Not at all, Eddie, and amen. Yeah, that's an extremely profound and simple definition of it. And I've got a little bit from Hebrews 11 towards the end of this spiel here too. So you couldn't have picked a better
favorite book of the Bible, Jacob.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
sorry, Jacob, but I'm excited. I didn't mean to cut you off just saying Hebrews 11 is a new Christian. I just couldn't. I just exploded when I read that, you know, and I'm going to make this quick, you know, going all the way back to the Jericho. You know, we have just like my bloodline. Jesus had that. We had the prostitutes in the bloodline, you know, where they can never keep his name straight. The hero of Jericho, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, I'm going down another rabbit trail. Let me shut up. Go right back, Jacob. I'm sorry I interrupted you, son.
No problem at all. Thanks, Eddie. So right before we went to break, and I'll try to pick up the pace a little bit here because there's a lot to mention here. But right before break, I was pointing out that when Jesus said that upon this rock, referring to himself, that he would build his church and that the gates of hell would not stand against it or prevail against it, the church of Jesus Christ, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know, we're firstly informed from that the true church of God is built upon the Christ himself. Secondly, we're informed that because of this, by definition, all the fury of hell cannot stand against the true church. And thirdly, although we are told in the word that our Lord calls out to us saying, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And Matthew 11, verses 28 and 29. Despite that, we are reminded that gates are a defensive structure. My father's done a whole sermon on this. The gates of hell, that is a defensive structure, my friends, meaning that the church is not a mere bomb shelter within which we can hunker down while our cities are pounded into dust, echoes, and oblivion by the onslaughts of the enemy, but rather it's a battering ram with which we can tear down the gates of hell and storm those infernal regions. The true church of Jesus Christ is made to take the fight to the enemy. And in 2 Corinthians 10, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, we read that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. Think of that imagery, battering through the gates of hell, pulling down of strongholds. This is the true calling of the true church of Jesus Christ. And yes, throughout our history, we can see how the church is often oppressed. We are told that all who live righteously in Christ shall suffer persecution. In the book of Timothy, too. I have to check that reference again. But not that some will suffer persecution or that we might be persecuted, but that all who live righteously in Christ shall suffer persecution. It's in 2 Timothy 3:12, where that verse is found. But one of the most sublime truths of the gospel of all is that our God, who is sovereign and sits on the throne of the universe, he does not share power, and he has most certainly not abdicated his throne, has given us victory over all the evil of the world. We're also told in Scripture, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Psalm chapter 2 tells us of the devilish minions who conspire against our God and against our people, who we make a humble effort to expose on this show on a regular basis. Psalm 2 reads, "Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder." That sound familiar? The time of the white man is over. Your time is over. You know, you need to step aside for your betters now. "Let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." He goes on to say in verse 8 of that same passage, "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." Elsewhere in Scripture, we're told that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. Think of that, the wealth of the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, all these dynastic banking families who use this money funneling into all manner of evil and oppressive enterprises for the purpose of beating us down and trying to grind us into the dust. That wealth is stored up for the righteous. The Scriptures tell us that he will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. And here we're shifting gears a little bit, because for all of this, you know, we're talking about this militant rhetoric of this defining character of the true church. And yet the Scriptures also tell us that it's not by your own strength. It's not because of any inherent greatness of your own. It's by the grace of God. And this is what's so important and so empowering about the gospel, that freedom. You know, last week I was talking about how, you know, it avails little to talk about wanting freedom from globalist oppressors when we can't even be free of the greatest form of oppression of all, and that's sin in our lives, the sin we subject ourselves to. There's nothing so pernicious and subversive and debilitating that the enemy can throw at us, that, you know, no policy so tyrannical and oppressive that the enemy can legislate and enforce against us than the tyranny that we subject ourselves to through our stubborn and stiff-necked insistence to defy and flout the law of God.
So amen.
For all of that, the Scriptures tell us that it is not by our strength that we do these things. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. This is in 1 Samuel 2:9 that we read this. In Zechariah 4:6, we read, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." There are times where God, in his sovereignty, allows his servants to fall. But Hebrews 11, getting to that part you were talking about at the beginning, that at the beginning of the chapter, it so brilliantly and succinctly, you know, defines for us what faith is, what the Christian faith is, what the substance of it is. Later, it goes on to give all these examples throughout that chapter of faith. Faith being instrumental in miraculous occurrences, like the fall of the walls of Jericho, and faith being instrumental in even people as wicked as the harlot Rahab, you know, who resided in Jericho. She was
one of my heroes.
And it goes on and gives all of these profound examples. And then it gets to this part that I'm talking about that brings everything full circle. It says in verse 32, Hebrews 11, verse 32, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kings." Sounds like music then.
Thank you so much, Jacob. And you know, they use that sin against us, Jacob, a.k.a. Hollywood. We are our own downfall if we follow this sin. You were so right, my brother. Well, people, we have to take a break. We're going to, our next segment, we're going to bring our guest up, and he will take us to the last 90 minutes of the show. So please hang on. We have a dynamite show for you.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Rick Vincent.
North Korea has criticized National Security Advisor John Bolton and said it no longer wants to deal with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Jack Keane, retired four-star general and chairman of the Institute for the Study of War, tells Fox News Kim Jong-un still wants to meet with the president.
Well, he's trying to create some division among our national security team and weaken it. At the same time, he's going way out of his way to avoid any criticism of the president, because what Kim Jong-un wants again is a summit with the president.
Keane says Kim still believes he can get sanction relief from President Trump. Clashes broke out between dozens of demonstrators and police in Paris on the 23rd Saturday of Yellow Vest protests. Dozens of black-hooded demonstrators threw rocks at police, and some set fire to motorcycles in the center of the French capital. Trash cans and several scooters were also set ablaze. Police responded by firing tear gas and stun grenades. You're listening to USA Radio News.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need.
Won't you stop your crying? I know that you're trying. Everything's gonna be okay.
Alexa, play Maren Morris.
Okay.
Get unlimited access to over 50 million songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Blue Star medicated ointment works fast to relieve the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
It's amazing. It's like as soon as you put it on, you can feel it working.
We've had Blue Star in the family for years. It works on everything.
I love the cooling sensation on my athlete's foot.
What a relief for my eczema.
Nothing worked on my dry, cracked skin until I tried Blue Star.
Blue Star is great for scalp itch.
Look for the white box with the blue star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast, or your money back.
Both the Democrats and the president are making it harder on themselves than they need to. So says GOP strategist Frank Luntz, who tells Fox News Democrats continue to beat a dead horse over the Mueller report, and the president hurts himself by putting out his continuous tweets.
He really should be at about a 55% approval rating, but he's not. And this is one of the challenges that the White House is probably considering. But the Democrats are actually making it easy for him by insisting on the partisanship, the ugliness, the cause, as Senator Warren did, for impeachment, even after seeing that there are no grounds for it.
Republican Congressman Chuck Fleischman of Tennessee says it's time to move past the Mueller report and deal with the crisis at the border.
We are seeing a chaotic situation at the border like we've never seen before. Unprecedented numbers, disease, potential terrorism. We are being literally overrun in this country, and the Democrats are sitting on their hands.
Fleischman says the Mueller investigation went on far too long. This is USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Okay, people, we're right back. We're getting ready to go to our guest, Jacob. He wanted about 1 minute left to finish up his scriptures. And since Jacob is a good friend, he's a family friend of Pat's. Hopefully Pat won't mind. Jacob, you will go ahead and finish up. Make it as fast as you can, my brother, because we have the guest on the line.
Absolutely, absolutely. We'll just wrapping up that last bit in Hebrews 11, because that final passage there that we were citing is just that sums up the source of this inspiration we're talking about better than anything. So getting right back into continuing that, and what shall I more say, reading verse 32, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect.
That was a dynamite sermon, Jacob. You have really inspired me, as you always do, talking to my my brothers and my children, almost, I consider them, because I'm 72 years old. With that, we're getting ready to go to a man I have been very anxious to get on here. Pat Shannon, how are you doing, Mr. Pat? How are you doing, my brother? We're so anxious to have you on tonight.
Glad to hear from you. I'm doing fine.
I'm so glad that you and Jacob told me that y'all were family friends. I told Jacob a couple of weeks ago, said, hey, man, I found this guy named Pat Shannon. He did this incredible video. Our friend, another friend of mine that's a friend of yours, Rudy Davis, told me that the video, OKC, not Oklahoma City, folks, it's OKC, if you want to pull it up. OKC bombing, forerunner to 9/11. It's a tremendous video. I've watched it and studied it and watched it and studied it, but we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the incredible satanic corruption of our so-called government we have on Sodom on the Potomac in Washington, D.C. We're going to talk about the guy who headed Fast and Furious, the guy who headed, you know, the program to hunt down the militia, to discredit the militia, who was promoted from assistant attorney general to attorney general for his deeds. That was at Eric Holder. Now I'm going to shut up. Mr. Pat, where would you like to start tonight? Would you like to start a new video? Would you like to throw out some, would you like to plug your website first of all? You're our guest. We're going to do what you want to do.
Well, you can find a whole lot of updated, suppressed information, we call it. Our website is from Independent News International, which the site is INI. worldreport.com will take you to it. And what we do there is give suppressed information, stuff, the fake news ideas, the items are not found there. And fake news, of course, doesn't cover a whole lot of things, and that's why they're fake news. But INIworldreport.com would be a good place to learn about the Oklahoma City bombing video and our books and that sort of stuff as well. But people like to bookmark it because, indeed, we do update it almost every day with some new stuff. But there's a new magazine as well coming out, the Truth Journal. It's similar to the Barnes Review. I'll give you some information on it before the show's over. But I've just done a long piece for them on Oklahoma City, the cover-up and the aftermath. And so, you know, everybody today in the Patriot world, I guess, knows that the bombs are on the inside of the building. But many of the younger generation don't know what happened 24 years ago. I'll read you my opening paragraph. 104 years ago, the deep state brought upon this continent a new form of terrorism, conceived in hate and dedicated to the proposition that most people can be deceived into believing anything when those lies are repeated often enough by a controlled and cooperative news media.
That's also true. I was looking into this, like I told the audience. By the way, I'd like to tell the audience one more time, although our distinguished guest just reminded you, I'm going to remind you the third or even the fourth time. This is the 24th anniversary. Excuse me, yesterday, Friday, April the 19th, was the 24th anniversary of the villains. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. Our own so-called government, they blew up the federal building in Oklahoma City. And they did it for multiple reasons. I mentioned earlier what they call this, and I got this from Jesse Trinidu's site and with Pat's site. There was a government was running this operation called PATCOM. It was called Patriots Conspiracy. They did Oklahoma City bombing. They did Waco. They did Ruby Ridge. One of the main reasons they did it was to try to discredit the patriot community. When we say patriot, we mean Bible-believing Christians, gun-toting, Bible-toting Christians, the patriot community, the militia community. They did that to try to discredit the good people in this country right there. I'm going to throw that out there right off the bat. And I'd like to throw something else out. And anytime, Pat, you're the expert. Correct me anytime I'm wrong. The feds had picked out Oklahoma City and a federal building, and I believe it was Phoenix, Arizona, I believe. It came down to the two sites they wanted to pick, and they chose Oklahoma City, people. You know why they chose Oklahoma City? Because the Oklahoma City Murrell Federal Building had a nursery in it full of children. They wanted the maximum carnage. They wanted the maximum damage. They wanted the maximum blood. So they try to stir up the American people, who were so easy to stir up.
Well, that's exactly right. And I would just add to that, Eddie, maybe something that you may not remember or your audience may not. But let us remember that just a couple of years before in New York City, they attempted to bring down the Twin Towers. And the FBI actually had conspired with this Muslim guy who was smart enough, though, to sting the FBI. He recorded them, offering him $1 million they told him they would bring in the truck, but they were gonna put white powder on it. It wasn't gonna really be an explosive and blah, blah, blah. And anyway, the FBI set up that whole operation. And unfortunately, for them, only 6 people died and 1,000 or so, I think, had smoke inhalation. But unfortunate for them also, is that they found out that the American people don't really give a hoot what happens in New York City. They had to hit the heartland. And they also, as you just mentioned, realized that by murdering children and blaming it on somebody else, you can really pluck the heartstrings of Americans. And that's why Oklahoma City was the target.
You know, I thought I had read that. You know, maybe, Pat, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but I know I saw you on the video. The name Jesse Trinidu. Jesse Trinidu is out in your friend and my friend, his neck of the woods. Salt Lake City, correct. He got in, and under the Freedom of Information Act, he's the one that got the papers that implicated under this PATCOM that implicated, Eric Holder. But anyway, proceed, myself. I'm really excited tonight. So, but keep going, Pat. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, Jesse became interested in the case. He didn't know anything at all about the inner weavings of the Oklahoma City plot, and for years or months afterwards, and years, I guess, before he really dug it up. But on August the 21st of the same year of 95, Jesse's brother was murdered in the Oklahoma City prison. It was a transfer area where he had been a bad boy back in California, but had married and had a child and reformed. And but they got him for a parole violation, and so they brought him back. Then they decided he looked like John Doe too. And the next thing we know, the Trinidu brother is beaten to death in his cell. And he was a pretty tough guy. And he put up one heck of a fight, obviously, and probably half a dozen guards probably beat him to death in his cell. But there were even bruises on the bottoms of his feet. I'm sure you've seen those pictures, but it was a horrible scene, and they wrote it off as suicide. And Jesse, being an attorney in Salt Lake, got onto the case and began to investigate the whole Oklahoma bombing connection, and later sued. The family collected $1 million for this, but they never could.
Pat, we got to go to a break. I would hate to interrupt you, Pat. Hold that thought. If you have to, if you're like me, write it down. And we'll come right back to what you were talking about as soon as we're over with the break. God bless you, people. Hang on.
Mom, you don't know anything about me anymore.
Honey, I know you're good at math. You don't like English. I know Ryan smiled at you yesterday at school. I know your favorite color is purple. And I know you don't like mushrooms. And who can blame you? I mean, mushrooms are a fungus, and people generally try to avoid funguses. Or is it fungi? I'm never quite sure. But, you know, either way, I mean, penicillin is good.
Penicillin is a mold.
Huh. Well, I guess you're right. So you like penicillin, but not mushrooms.
No matter what you talk about, love is what they'll hear.
Mom, if we talk, will you be quiet?
Love to.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at mormon.org.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march. That is why we pray. And that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, dear people, we're right back to this great interview with Patrick Chan on his great video, OKC Bombing Road to 9/11. And before I go back to Jesse, Sam reminded me of something, in case we forget. You know, to show you that this is legit, that Eric Holder and the FBI and the Federals were such criminals, the family sued them. Pat, before we go on, I'm going to start asking you about the movie in just a minute, about your video. Would you tell the audience about the lawsuit that the Trinidad family took? They took the federal government to court, and they got a $1.1 million lawsuit against them, I believe, on a cash award. Would you tell them about that?
The brother's name was Kenny, Kenneth Trinidad. It was so obviously a murder that, and you know, matter of fact, I met his parents. I was speaking in Sacramento, I guess it was the following year, maybe, and Trinidad's parents were there. I didn't even know who Jesse was at this time, but the mom, I take it back, I think it was his mother and maybe an aunt that came to the expo, and they came by my table and introduced themselves. But this was long before the judgment. And as I say, Jesse got involved and learned as much or more about Oklahoma City as any of us. And in fact, he even became Terry Nichols' lawyer, and he got into the Colorado prison to talk with Terry and learned a lot of things, especially about the FBI connections. And Terry even told him that Larry Potts, the FBI bigwig in Oklahoma City that year, was actually Tim McVeigh's handler. So next thing we know, Larry Potts gets promoted to assistant director of the FBI, so it must have been true.
But amen.
These shenanigans that we're seeing exposed now by Comey and the FBI, they've been going on for a long, long time. It's just that Oklahoma City was the first that many of us began to uncover the truth and who was, you know, behind the cover-up. The video, of course, was a 90-minute video, and that's the limit that the videographers like to keep it at. Chuck Harder was the one that financed it. I was Chuck's investigative journalist at the time, and we put together a package with a production company out in Fort Worth and traveled, to Oklahoma City and interviewed people such as Charles Key and Glenn and Kathy Wilburn. I'm trying to think of some of the names of the people on the tape, J.D. Cash. Then we went to Las Vegas and picked up on Ted Gunderson and got some great interviews with him. And through Ted, I learned of Michael Reconosciuto, who knew about the super bomb, pineapple bomb, they called it. And Ted and I traveled into South Carolina Penitentiary, where we could interview Michael Reconosciuto. He was another CIA operative who got framed by his upline because of he knew too much about some certain things, and that's not important to go into today. But Michael Reconosciuto went on to, we had a great prison interview with him there. So the video was supposed to be a 90-minute video, and we ended up right at the end, we had about 88 and a half minutes or so. And the production chairman or foreman said, okay, what can we do to top it off at exactly 90 minutes? And I said, I know exactly what we can use. And it's a killer. The last 90 seconds is the Senate hearings where several of the scoffers about Oklahoma City were being interviewed. And the question is asked, What motive are they trying to make the patriot community look bad and the look like all militia members? And the question from Dianne Feinstein was, and what would motivate someone to want to blow up a federal building? And the guy responded with, oh, probably just a good way to cover up the evidence. He, of course, was referring to the demolition. And, we got a big kick out of putting that on at the end of the... Well, before we could even wrap it up, Chuck Harder calls us out in Fort Worth and says, we got to put an addition on here. I just did a 30-minute radio interview with Hoppy Heidelberg. And Hoppy Heidelberg, as your audience may not know, but you will remember, was the grand juror who was kicked off for trying to do his job, for trying to investigate and find out. Hoppy and I later became very good friends. But we have a two-hour video now instead of 90 minutes because we have a 30-minute radio interview, Chuck Harder talking to Hoppy Heidelberg only days after he was kicked off the grand jury, and the story made the U.S. News, and Chuck got him on the phone with us. So we got a great interview there as well. So, yes, indeed, the video is included in one of our packages at iniworldreport.com. Well, but we got a $99 special, which is probably a couple of hundred bucks worth of books and videos and stuff, and that one is included in that package. So if your listeners would like to have a real bargain, just dial up the INI World Report site, and they can see the $99 special over there on the right-hand side of the column. Speaking of Hoppe Heidelberg and Charles Key, I want your listeners to understand to what depths the enemy here will stoop in order to...
Tell them who Charles Key was, Pat. Pat, if you will, tell them. The audience may not know who Charles Key was.
Well, okay, yeah, I'm coming to that. But they, Charles Key and I met because of a TV station owner up in northern Oklahoma had been listening to my reports with People's Radio Network. He called me. Well, he called Chuck and asked me to call him back, and which I did. And he said he was good friends with a man in Oklahoma City whose son was a newly elected state representative on the west side of Oklahoma City. And he would like to get a private grand jury outside of the auspices of the FBI seated in order to get to the truth. And I said, fine, I'll be back in Oklahoma City on June the 15th. If you'd like for me to sit down with you, the three of us, and talk, I'll be happy to. So that's how I met Charles Key. And middle of June, when I was going back, we went to lunch. I had to run upstairs to the hotel at 1 o'clock Central in order to do the 2 o'clock Chuck Harder show. He wanted me on for the first 15 minutes every day in those days just to report what was going on. And when I came back a half an hour or so later, they were still sitting there talking. We sat down, and doggone if we didn't talk all afternoon. We talked until 5 o'clock. And Charles Key and I became good friends, and we were urging him to see what he could do, and he said, he didn't make a commitment, but he certainly said, I'm going to put it under strong consideration. I think you gentlemen have a good idea. And I remember my parting remark to Charles that day as he left to go home. I said, sure hope that you'll be able to put this together. And I said, if you can and if you do, there's one or two things that's going to happen. You're either going to become governor or you're going to lose your seat.
Amen. Amen to that.
You know, and he did. 96, the following year, he did lose his seat. He gained it back in 98, which was good. But Charles is a good man, and he did all he could. He didn't know what kind of enemy he was up against. And the enemy got to Bob Macy, who was a local county attorney who was going to be the prosecutor, and he did a real sloppy job, and they destroyed the county grand jury. It never really got off the ground. It wasn't able to do anything that it was designed to do. And the feds had solid control. They were also of the realization that they better get that trial out of Oklahoma, because too many people were wise to what was going on. General Ben Parton had come forward by that summer. General Ben Parton was 31 years in the U.S. Air Force, 25 of them in demolition. He even taught the subject at one of their Air Force war colleges. I mean, if the FBI wanted an expert on the subject, here he was, General Ben Parton. So Ben and I met down there and spent a whole lot of time in radio interviews and over the next several years, matter of fact. Ben was, I think, a hero of the whole investigation. He got onto it merely sitting at home in his living room the week after the bombing. And he's doing nothing but thumbing through Time and Newsweek and U.S. News and World Report. He says to his wife, baloney, it wasn't ammonium nitrate fuel oil that blew this building up. And he's looking at nothing but magazine pictures and can see. And he explained it to me later. He took a pencil in his hands, and he said, Pat, here's what happens when a column is dislodged by air impact, by the explosive wind blast. And he snapped the pencil in half, and of course it was shredded at both ends. And then he showed me the pictures of the columns in the rear of the building. where the bombs are strategically placed right over the...
Pat, we got to go to a break, fella. I hear the music coming up. We're going to the break, and we're getting ready to transition into the second hour, Mr. Pat and people. We will be right back. This will be kind of a lengthy break. We're going to take up right where we left off when we come back. Hang on to your seats, people. We'll be right back.